Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, November 13th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the book. We're on page 59 in the chapter How It Works. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins, "Half measures availed us nothing," ends with complete abandon. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, November 12, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,905. That's 21905. And the share ID for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting yesterday is 21,906. That's 21906. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Susan R., a compulsive eater in Rhode Island, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Susan R. And I'll now ask Bonnie B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hey, good morning, friends. This is Bonnie B. from Florida. Compulsive overeater, gratefully living in grace and recovery today by God. By God's grace. Traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And step 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. And I apologize, I forgot to tell you all who our readers are today. The 12 Steps, Susan R., the 12 Traditions, Bonnie B., readers of the text, Vanessa G., Reva P., our backup is Sherry D., our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., the second hour host is Colleen M., and announcements will be given by Nancy C. this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. On page 59, we'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins, Half Measures Availed Us Nothing, and ends with Complete Abandon. And I'll now ask Vanessa G. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. So is it odd or is it God? Last month, I was the reader of the second paragraph on page 53. And it talked about self-imposed crisis. And so I had looked up the word crisis, and it talked about, the definition included the phrase turning point. And so when I looked up turning point this morning, it said, one of the definitions was a turning around, a complete alteration of the basic motivation and direction of one's life, a critical point, and it finished up with a crisis. The definition of a crisis that I found last month was the turning point of a disease when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. This is, for me, the truth, and it seems to be something that a message that has come through to me twice now. My choice is recovery or death, and I have not always been able to frame it that way, but what is my choice? My choice is either total and complete abandonment to God, and asking him for protection and care so that I can go through these steps, so that I can live in his life, so that my particular situation is how do I put this, always God-centered as opposed to self-centered. Sometime back, maybe about a year and a half ago, I wrote a prayer, and I use it every night before I go to bed and also in the morning. And I knew that a lot of the phrases came from the Big Book, but today it takes me a while sometimes. I realized that, you know, one of the biggest phrases came from this paragraph that I'm reading this morning. And I want to read it to you now. This is one paragraph out of that prayer that I read. It says, please help me to remember I am not alone, but rather I am in your care, safe and protected. I am no longer self-seeking, uselessly looking for answers from myself, for myself, and by myself. I am seeking you now, finding the direction and strength to meet my problems as you would have me. Please grace me with the humility and the strength to do your will today and always.
Time.
You know, is that complete time?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
That's good. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Vanessa G. From New Mexico, for getting us started this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday this week, we ask you to hold back. And who would like to share on what was read?
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Bonnie.
Nancy C.
Nancy.
Bonnie B.
Katie F.
Tony. Katie.
Reba P.
Jennifer C.
Larry K.
Okay, Jennifer, let's stop with Larry. I'm writing quick as I can. Okay. All right, well, I'll tell you what I have. I have Bonnie B., Nancy C., Tony B., Katie F., Reba P., Jennifer C., Larry K. Anyone else want to sneak in there? Great. All right, Bonnie B., you're up, followed by Nancy C.
Okay, hi everyone. This is Bonnie B. from Florida. Thanks for your moderation. Thanks for the beautiful opening share. Yeah, there's so much to say on this. You know, the word avail to me, I looked it up. It means to help or to benefit. Half measures availed me nothing. It didn't help and it didn't benefit me to do this part way. I mean, maybe it was the best I thought I could do when I came in. I do think I was still trying to cut corners left and right, because of, you know, what was going to be required of me when I got to steps 8 and 9. But it did not help me, because what it did do is it, by following the food plan, which we know it's not about the food, but it sure was when I first came in, I did get some of what I wanted, which was the number on the scale to drop. And that eased some of my anxiousness over, do I really need to do all this? You know, do I really need to go through all the steps? Because, look, I'm getting what I thought I wanted. So half measures actually were a deficit for me, because they kept me thinking that I could get what I wanted, when in reality it wasn't what I needed. It was what I thought I needed to have the number on the scale go down, but it wasn't what I needed. Because, you know, the longer we're in this program, the more that we come to understand, if it's about the number on the scale, it's just a diet. And, you know, page 31, yeah, here are some of the methods I have tried. This was just another method. It wasn't truly the last house on the block for me. And I don't know how we get there except through experience, because I came in really thinking, oh, my goodness, I need to do something different. And yet I played a part of the game and thought no one else would know, but in the end, it didn't really matter if people didn't know, because God knows, and until I'm free from those things that separate me from Him, I'm never going to be free. And we know what that freedom feels like, and it's not the number on the scale, at least not for me. And then when it says, you know, we asked for His protection, we stood at the turning point, you know, I was always in movement. And in this program, God has taught me how to pause, and how to, like I say, stand down. like just take a deep breath, stand down and lean in and look up and then listen. And that's where I started to find the grace that I needed to do what I needed to do in this program. I do know that I came in doing the best I could do, and it was what it was. And I'm grateful today that I understand what it really is. And it is not about a number on a scale. It is about being sane in my mind so I can fit myself to be of maximum service to others. And so, so grateful for each of you. So grateful for this program, for this book. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. And Nancy C., you're up, followed by Tony B.
Hey, thanks, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning by God's grace in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I'm laughing at it's just I'm struck dumbfounded that I never got to a turning point until I got to this program. I always half-measured it, right? I'm a half-measured kind of gal. I would, close is good enough, always worked for me. You know, I'd start working on something, get close, and then move to another direction. It was never a turning point. I never arrived anywhere. And that was the same with my weight. I'd get close enough and be done, and then I'd be off to the races again, and I could never get it under control, my weight or my eating, even though I kept trying, because I was a half measure kind of gal, right? And I think that is what is really in my face today, is that this turning point is the first time in my life I had a turning point when I resolutely turned my will and my life over to God and worked this program all the way through, not a half measure, all the way through. You know, you give the Coke can analogy or whatever. But this was the first thing God protection got me all the way through. But you know what the funny thing is that I've never arrived. I've never gotten to the point where I can get to a turning point, because God keeps bringing me farther and farther. The more I stay abstinent and keep the food down, I'm never going to get to a turning point, right? And that's the beauty of this program, because it just keeps growing. The food is neutral, and I get closer to my fellows. I get closer to love and tolerance as my code. Do I do this program perfect? No. But do I do it with God's grace and God's help every day that I ask for it? He is right there by my side. So I don't need turning points anymore. I just need to be under his care and protection. And it all came from working the 12 steps with everything I had. It wasn't half measures. It was a full measure. And I'm so grateful for that grace God gave me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nancy C. from Michigan. And Tony B., you're up, followed by Katie F.
Thank you so much for your service, Lisa. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And what a privilege to be on this meeting, to hear the share so far, to hear that main share. Such a beautiful share. Thank you. And, you know, I often think about, you know, the half measures that I tried. But reading this today, I realize it's really about the one who has all power. You know, we need to connect it with that paragraph before it. Without help, it is too much for us. There is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing in terms of finding God, in terms of asking his protection and care with complete abandon. And it really needs an abandoning of everything else, that I can do it on my own, the thinking that I'm in control, you know, that perhaps just a sponsor and the tools will do it, or just a sponsor and working the steps will do it. It's God has to be front and center. I love the what I've heard a lot recently, that we have two main relationships in our life, the one with ourselves and the one with God. It's absolutely key. We can depend upon him entirely, and it isn't me who does it, you know. And it's this moment, it's every moment that I'm willing to pause. And I loved what I heard: stand down, lean in, look up, ask for help, pause and listen. And I'm getting down on my knees more regularly through the day. I'm saying, thank you, God, for what's gone so far, and be with me for the next bit. And, you know, we can't take God out of the mix. He's in all of these steps apart from one, you know, absolutely just right through it. And I don't think I've got anything else to say. I just feel so grateful. I feel humbled by the share so far, and I'm just going to pass with that, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. And Katie F., you're up, followed by Reba P.
Good morning. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. And yes, I tried half measures for so many years. I came to my first OA meeting when I was 14 years old with about 10 pounds to lose, and came back when I was 21 with 30 pounds to lose, and then stayed in the rooms trying half measures for 6 more years till I needed to lose 70 pounds. And it's not about the weight, but that's what my half measures did for me. They not only did half, they did the opposite, where it was just complete, you know, insanity. By the time I was ready to not do half measures, but stand at the turning point and ask God for his protection with complete abandon, which means for me abandoning all of my old ideas, abandoning my yes, but, and my I'm gonna, and my tomorrows, and all of the things that I stood on, thinking that somehow I'd be able to do this program without surrender, without following what everyone else was doing. And my half measures were so convoluted that it got to where I didn't even know what what I was doing wrong. I thought that I was the person who, you know, was constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself, because I couldn't even see that my dishonesty was what the problem was. I thought that I was doing what I was being told. I thought that I was trying. I thought that I was abandoned. And, you know, it took just a real shakeup of everything that I knew about myself, what I knew about this program, what I knew about God, for me to be able to put one foot in front of the other and put the food down for the last time. And that was 37 years ago, and I've never looked back. Now, does that mean that I've never done half measures in anything in my life? No, I'm still working through things. One event at a time, one thing at a time, and some things ad nauseum that I am trying to do things my own way, and I have to just keep going back to God and back to God and back to God. And, you know, for today, at this moment at 7:22, before I've encountered other people, I'm feeling really good. Things are really good. Now, let's see what happens once I get to work and get pushed again, and my buttons are pushed. And again, I have to surrender and trust this process. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Katie F. from Virginia. And Reva P., you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. I love the reminder of the first sentence that in the material world, if I do like half a project, I do half the project. But if I want a spiritual awakening, which is the solution, and I want access to the power that it tells me I need in the paragraph above, it's telling me really clearly that the prescription calls for doing it all. Like half measures gives me zero. Zero. If I don't take the full prescription in the bottle, I'm not going to get healed. So there's no OA light, as somebody describes it. But what strikes me the most is sort of like telling me, by this point, when I reach this paragraph, I've admitted I'm powerless. And in the paragraph above, I know that without help, it is too much. I need a power. And then there's this little, like almost pause, like a step three. And I'm powerless. If I can't do it, I need this power. And I'm standing at this turning point, like somebody said, a time or a place where a decisive change in direction, a change in direction, the situation is going to change, especially, and it says this really, you know, refers to a beneficial, positive change. And what do I do when I'm at that turning point? There's a split second when I've gotten like to this place, whether it's with the food or with a situation, and I'm hitting a wall. The first thing I do is I ask and I pray. And what am I praying for? You know, somebody in this meeting always reminds me, I'm praying for care and direction. And what is care? The provision of what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of me. And it also refers to serious attention or consideration applied to somebody to avoid damage or risk. To me, that's what God does. And protection, keeping me safe from harm. And what's the harm? My mind, myself, my self-will run riot. I'm asking for protection from the things I do to myself that destroy me. And I do it with complete abandon. And then, when I change direction and I make this decision, I have to take the actions and remember that I can't do half the steps that they're going to tell me. You know, I can't start reading them and say, oh, I don't want to do that one, and I'll just do this one, and maybe I'll just write about my this inventory, but I won't put it all in. No, I have to do the whole thing. So I just love the fact that it reminds me God gives us care and protection. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto, and Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Larry K.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So, beautiful paragraph, so short and yet so mighty. By this point in the book, I've become fully convinced that I can't protect myself from the first compulsive bite, right? I heard for so long, you know, if you can't remember your last binge, you haven't had it yet, which made me think that I was going to get to a place where I was going to be able to remember my last binge. What this book teaches me is that at some point, page 43, at some point, I have no effective mental defense. At certain times, I can't remember. Certain times I can remember. Certain times I can't. So now I have fully conceded to my innermost self that my mind, my own mind, isn't going to protect me. I'm going to forget. My will, goals, my dreams, right? All my reasons, my health, my weight, my relationships, my finances, all of that is not going to be sufficient enough to protect me from that first compulsive bite, right? This book is teaching me that my defense, capital D, has to come from one source, and that source is God. So now I have a decision, right? I have to turn. I have to make a decision to turn. What am I turning from? I'm turning from pride. I'm turning from prejudice against the name God, all of my preconceptions. What's God done for me? I'm turning from those mindsets. I'm turning from self-reliance. I'm turning from believing that I can do this. I got this. I can tackle this, right? I turn what I want over to God. I turn my will. When I'm full of fear, I turn my life. Oh, that's right. God's got me. I turn my attention from self-centeredness to service and self-sacrifice. I can't protect myself from the first compulsive bite. I need God's care and protection, but it doesn't stop there, right? Because the reality is this turning inspires me to keep doing my part in this dance. Because surrender, 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 yes, but what am I surrendering to? I stop fighting, yes, but I'm surrendering to this care, this love, this protection, this provision. This book teaches me that this addict needs to be all in. All in with what? All in with the ideas in this book that God's got me no matter what. Money, God's my employer. Keep doing God's work. He's my new employer. He's going to take care of me. God's protection, God's love, and God's way of life is what I'm turning towards. I can't rescue myself. And as long as I believe I can still rescue myself, there's no reason to turn. But once I know that I'm all out of resources in and of myself, I have every reason to put all my eggs in one basket, and that basket is God's. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. And Larry K., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for your service. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Chicago. I'll set my timer here. You know, yeah, half measures. The bottom line for people like us is that we have no ability to determine how many bites are going to follow the first bite. Might be two, might be 20. See, we never know which way it's going to go, and that's not normal. Now, I got a friend. His name is Joe, and he's I know him from AA. He's not one of us, and he's not a compulsive reader. And Joe loves chocolate. He keeps chocolate in his home. Can you imagine that? And Joe has never, as far as I know, thought to himself, you know, I'm going to have two Hershey's Kisses today, and then had 50. Never. Why? He's not a compulsive overeater. He does not have the twofold nature of the illness. Now, what we read in the literature is that this phenomenon of craving never occurs in the Joes, never in the average temperate eater. The phenomenon of craving happens when we take the first bite. If we never took the first bite, we'd be good. So when Joe eats a Hershey's Kiss, his desire for another becomes satisfied. When I eat a piece of chocolate, my desire for more becomes magnified. It becomes amplified. Satisfied is normal. Magnified is abnormal. And if it doesn't happen to you every time, that doesn't mean that you're not a compulsive overeater. It may happen only 50% of the time, maybe 100% of the time. And you may be saying to yourself, you know, there were nights when I didn't have dessert and I went right to bed. I was good. Well, it doesn't work that way. The manifestation of an allergy is that we just never know which way it's going to go. It's always Russian roulette. Once I take the first bite, I never know which way it's going to go. Now, the answer to the physical allergy seems almost ridiculously simple. Don't do it. I mean, a monkey could figure that out, right? In fact, my guess is that monkeys have figured it out. I would bet you that if you went into the jungle and you started tracking that monkey, following it wherever it went, and at some point that monkey landed on a bush, picked a poisonous berry off and ate it and got sick, I'll bet you could follow that monkey around for the rest of its life, and he's never going to eat one of those berries again. That monkey just figured out the physical allergy, and somehow we just can't do it. We're biologically mandated to pick up. Why? Because we have more than just a physical allergy. We have the double whammy. The mental twist ensures that even when the food is down, we're driven back to the food. And that's quite a dilemma. And the big book tells me that I have a physical malady, or doesn't tell me I have a physical malady. It doesn't tell me that I have an emotional malady. It tells me I have a spiritual malady. And that's unique in our world. If you're a physician, if you ever examine someone, and I'm going to wrap up with this, if you ever examine someone, done the diagnostics and told your patient, here's the thing, you have a spiritual malady, you need God. You know, we don't do that. It's not likely, but that's what I've come to believe, and that's what I needed to come to believe so that I could find a relationship with power. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. And we are on page 59 in How It Works. We are reading, we've read the first paragraph. Half measures availed us nothing and ends with complete abandon, and comments on that one paragraph. And who else would like to share this morning?
Cindy S., Nebraska.
Nancy
P. Karen K. Oh, hang on. Nancy P. Karen K.
Yes.
I have Susan. I think you're from Nebraska.
Yes. Susie S.
Okay. Susie S.
Lynn S.
Yes. Lynn S.
Jennifer
H. Did I hear a gentleman? Jennifer H?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you
Roy
what I have. I have, oh, Roy, I can't hear you very well, Roy, if you want to adjust a little bit. Okay, I have Susan S, Nancy P, Karen K, Lynn S, Jennifer H, and Roy. We'll go with that and see how far we get. Susie S, you're up, followed by Nancy P.
Hello, everyone. This is Susie S from Nebraska, compulsive eater. I was just thinking this paragraph is tiny. It's quiet, but powerful. I see what stands out is the word us and we used twice. I underlined half measure developed us nothing in red because it's a warning. But written from experience, I underlined we ask his protection and care with complete abandon in green. It's a prayer. Turning point stood out to me, meaning I'm at a fork in the road. I have a choice to make. And for me and many of us, the set-aside prayer, adapting an attitude of setting aside everything I think I know going forward about myself, about God, about others, my own recovery, so I may have an open mind going forward now. My new choice is to have an open mind, a new experience, and which means to have humility in everything. Going into life, every interaction with others, am I thinking I'm right? That's just an example. And what would that lead to? I thank you for letting me share. I guess that's all I have for now. And I pass. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Susie S. from Nebraska. And Nancy P., you're up, followed by Karen K.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. So there's three things in this paragraph that speak to me. Half measures availed me nothing. Three-quarter measures availed me nothing. 99.999% measures avail me nothing. The only thing that avails me anything is full measures. And just to make sure they drive the point home, they have two of my five most important words in the book in this paragraph. They are nothing and complete. Because there's no wiggle room here for Nancy P. And Nancy P. is like, I'm a wiggler, you know. I'm like a millipede. I wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And I'm always trying to find some scam so that I can get more than what I need or do less than what I need to do or somehow beat the game, game the system. That's what I like to do. And, you know, I've spent my whole life constructing this, I don't know, you know, this demeanor that allowed me to kind of pass as what something that I'm not. And it never fooled me. I always felt like I was living a lie and, you know, never more than when I wasn't eating. You know, abstinence only is a curse, I think, for me anyways. I, you know, when I think about it now, it's so not recovered to just put the food down for me. I mean, so not recovered. And today, you know, I have to do the whole job. And how do I do that? You know, I go to these meetings. I work with other people. And most especially, I talk to other people. I do what I call fellowshipping, which is, you know, more than just sponsoring, because that's more of a, that's not a balanced relationship. But when I call another compulsive overeater and I talk about, you know, stuff that's going on in my life or ask them about what's going on in their life, and we have an honest exchange, there's something magical about that. Yesterday I was talking to a good friend on the, you know, that I have in the program, and we were chit-chatting, and I said, you know, she's the first person that I talked to about this particular issue that is bothering me a great deal. And I said, you know, I'm not ready to talk about it with some other people who have called me to ask me about it. But I could talk to her about it because she's never put me in a place where, you know, she makes me feel safe. And that's something that, you know, the fellows in this program make me feel safe. They're proxies for, you know, whatever this thing is that takes care of me. The fellows in this program are proxies. No, I'm agnostic. Everybody knows that. And, you know, I don't care, know or care what whatever this thing is that takes care of me. But I feel it most acutely when I'm talking to other compulsive overeaters. And they're the ones that help keep me on the beam. I mean, if it was up to me to do full measures, forget it. You know, like, forget it. Like, forget it. Totally forget it.
Time.
But because I have fellowship, I'm able to toe the line. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. And Karen K., you're up, followed by Lynn S.
Hi, excuse me. Hi, this is Karen K. from Virginia. Thank you for everyone doing service. And so many good shares and a lot of kind of what I can relate to. But what came to me was when I started OA, I was 22, 23-ish. And I already had a list of things that I had tried to use to like make myself better, make myself normal. Why am I not like everybody else? But when I was introduced to the program, I just couldn't wrap my head around God, the word, the intentions of getting a relationship with God and relying on God. And so I stayed in the rooms, but I kept going with more half measures because I wanted to not be a member of OA. I didn't want God to be my solution. And so, yes, my weight would get to where I needed it to be, but I was a hot mess. I was moving all over the country. I was like getting jobs, leaving jobs, getting fired from jobs. My relationships were a mess, but I just refused anything that had to do with God. So then, you know, I was at like one of my first turning points and said, okay, I'm going to give it a try. And then I just kind of did like, you know, asking God and begging God. And that was my turning to God. You know, and while I would keep, you know, have my cake and eat it too, I was continuing to do all of my eating disorder behaviors. So for me, it wasn't, and it took a really long time, unfortunately, but it took what it took, and I didn't know what I didn't know. And when I finally, you know, but I still think, you know, there's a lot in my future for me to learn as well. But when I finally got a better handle and grasp and had someone really help me through this book and to guide me through these steps. And then I was ready. Like I was done. Like those half measures, like I didn't even care if I could get my weight under control, which is what I thought the real problem was. But I was just a nightmare of a person. So when I was ready to ask, you know, God for his protection and care with complete abandon. And I had to, you know, like someone said earlier, just give up all of my preconceived ideas about God and spirituality. It wasn't until then that I was able to even allow myself to be in a place to have any kind of experience with my higher power. So I love this short paragraph, and there's just so much. And today, I'm really grateful that I'm not choosing any of my half measures from the past and that I really am asking God for protection every day. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen K. And Lynn S., you're up, followed by Jennifer H.
Good morning, Vision. Excuse me. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. We stood at the turning point. My whole life My whole life is hanging in the balance right now. Am I going to treat this like all the other times in my life where I've started something new? Or am I going to, like, this is an incredible turning point. My life is on the line here. Because I've read the book, it's told me all of this, I have this information. And what's my choice? I'm at this turning point. There is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. That's my choice. That's my turning point. It's really striking me how deep this is, how meaningful this is. This isn't the newest diet. This isn't, okay, here we go again with trial number 610 of a new way of doing it. I've got this time. No. This isn't any of that. This is standing there, right here, right now. I'm at a turning point. My whole life can change right here, right now. There is one who has all power. That one is God. May I find him right now. Or keep doing what I've always done. It's so profound. I've been in program since May the 9th, 1989. I've read this 100 bazillion million times. I got the idea. I got the gist. Yeah, I know. But right here, right now, it's striking me in a way that it never has before. The power in this, the opportunity in this for my whole life to change. And I don't have to figure anything out because it's going to tell me exactly what to do. It's been telling me for the first 58 pages. And for the rest that follows up to 164, it will continue to tell me. But the main pivotal point right now is this turning point. Am I going to do it differently? Am I going to turn everything over to God? That one power. Do I really admit that I have no power and I can't do this? What an incredible two paragraphs, that come together that are life-changing. It's amazing how it can strike you differently on any different day. It's a gift. I am so grateful to this meeting. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. from Canada. And Jennifer H., you're up, followed by Roy.
Hi, good morning. This is Jennifer H. from Virginia. Listening to all the great shares has been so helpful to me today. And this paragraph also very timely. And I have to share that last night I was at a turning point. I was kind of in the middle of a bit of hubbub around, meeting, normal stress. And there was a chocolate sheet cake sitting on our counter that somebody had left and said, everybody help themselves. And this is the trigger food for me. And, by the end of the night, I was looking at that and I said, I want a piece of that so badly. It was really talking to me. And I was at a turning point. My husband said, well, have one. You can just have one. Just have one slice. You can do it. And I was at a turning point because I wanted to believe him. I wanted to believe the lie. I wanted to believe that I was different. But I have to go back to step one and say, I am powerless over this stuff. I am powerless over this addiction. And I was at a turning point because I was just right at the fence. I'm like, do I want to leave and go back into this food, to go back into that struggle, to go back into the ring? Or do I want to stay in the loving arms of this program, in my higher power, this connection, stay with the challenges? And, there is so much more peace on this side. And I'm so grateful that, a power greater than myself could deliver me from that first bite that would have just set off that that thing, and I would have tried to fight again. And I'm so grateful today for this program, for the reminders that I get. Like, I am different. I am a different entity. So many great shares today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer H. And Roy, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Roy C., and I'm from South Jersey. I hope you can hear me.
Great, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, thank you. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I've been dealing with this disease my whole life, and I'm not 25 anymore. And I found that I could get away with half measures for a good portion of my life, but not anymore. Half measures really avail me nothing. It's doing half the program. I've been reminded by that several times in the last year, and it's a good reminder. So I'm taking on each of those measures, the nine steps of the nine parts of recovery that have to be done. The there's easy ones that I can do right away and easily and do on my own, but relying on another person, making outreach calls, helping another person, those are the things that are not easy to do. But once you go ahead and do that, at least once I've gone ahead and done that, they slowly disappear. And the only way to really manage this disease for me is to continue take on the things that I don't really want to do and just go ahead and do them and get the program to work. The other thing that I, was struck with this morning is what we call things. Some people call whatever it is. For me, it's just to go ahead and do it. So I'm going to continue to do that one day at a time. And I thank everybody for being here this morning. And thanks to this program, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy C. from South Jersey. And we have time for one more share. Would anybody like to take it?
Natalie S.
Natalie, please share with us.
Oh, thank you. So I'm Natalie S., recovered compulsive eater in Indiana. And thank you all first, and thank you for this program and for all the shares that I got to listen to. And I was just reminded that actually, for me, half measures do avail me something. But the turning point that I have to look at every day, which requires that I stay under the umbrella, under the loving, I like to think of it as a tree, the shade of my higher power, is whether I want what that avails me. And the truth is, I think I do, and that's where it's so deceptive. And I just have to be very careful. I have to be on guard. And you have all shown me that I can choose. I have the power to choose every single day. But it's the choice at that turning point that I have to use to stay sane. And I've had lots of little opportunities, and I'm grateful to my higher power that I call God for those. Even though I don't like them in the moment, some people call them slips. I really don't know what the language is around them. All I know is I stepped outside of the path of my behavior plan, my food plan, or whatever. I wasn't kind, and I didn't take care of that disturbance. And whether I knew it or not, a lot of times I'm learning what that is, but I have to even ask, God, why am I disturbed? Why am I disturbed right now? And if he shows me, I do need to take that action. And you know, I need to set aside my feelings. I need to set aside my thoughts about myself. I need to set aside my power. I need to set aside everything. And if I can do that, then God works miracles. And I'm just so grateful for that. So thank you all. And that's about all I have. I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Natalie S. from Indiana. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, November 13th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,908. That's 21908. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Reva P., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Hi, it's Reva P. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.